Well, a dí a dí new show agus falta gidí an clár don long nacht thamid an show gidí a hucht a clog in nacht. You're very welcome along to Terrace Talk for this bank holiday Monday evening. I hope you find you well. The clocks might have gone back and we're into the dark starts for Terrace Talk. It was bright this time last week, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. But we've got an action packed show. Hopefully you're tucked up by the fire somewhere on your bank holiday Monday evening. You're tuned in to Terrace Talk. What is the county final Monday, the day after the day before, and Dingle crowned county champions yesterday. The show mainly orchestrated around the championship. First hour, we'll be looking back at Dingle's historic win. Second hour, then this evening, we will be chatting to Dear McCarney, of course, three of our ladies' teams into Munster finals as well, taking place next weekend. A huge achievement for the ladies' football in the county, and we'll be putting the lads to work to name their 2025 team of the championship as well. If you have any views on any of the sporting action from across the weekend, be it the men's football, the ladies' football, or anything else you are watching or catching up on over the weekend, the phone lines are now open. 066 712 3666 is the number. You can give Niamh a call there, or Rob in Studio 1, and you can text or WhatsApp direct to Studio 083 300 3300, or if you're out and about or further afield, our email is also open. That's open midweek as well, terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. But it was Dagenny Cooch victorious yesterday in the county final, 213 to 112, the final score, and a 77-year wait for the Bishop Moynihan Cup comes to an end. Fantastic scenes in Dingle looking on social media after the game yesterday. They definitely enjoyed that one. Delighted to be in the company of our former Kerry men in John Kennedy and Liam Brosson once again, as our football coverage might start winding down in Terrace Talk. The county final is almost goodbye for the end of the year, but still plenty going on, obviously, after all that. Liam, I'll start with you. And look, I suppose it's history made yesterday for Dingle, and 77 years of hurt over for Dagenny Cooch.
That's right, Ivan. History made, and we all see the celebrations on social media, and you know, very deserving. I think you know, very few people will begrudge Dingle on their win yesterday. You know, they have a roller coaster of years gone by where they were kind of like the bridesmaids and never the bride, and yeah, you know, everyone was wondering, and there is this kind of a thing out there that they are running out of time, you know, and stuff like that. But to be fair, yesterday, you know, experience, I think all that them games of hurt and them games of losses probably added to their victory yesterday, because if you ask me, when I opened the curtains yesterday morning and I saw the weather and stuff like that, I said, this is a game, this is a day for Dingle. You could see the you know, the wind, it was strong showers, John, there, and it was just a miserable day for you could say for football. But Dingle rolled up the sleeves and they went at it. I suppose you know, the Stacks, they were dominant, you could say, in a way, in the first half, but not on the scoreboard.
Yeah,
and it just shows the experience that Dingle had. You know, at times the Stacks were getting into the game, but Dingle came up maybe in just a bit of an injury, slow down the game, you know, take the edge off it, and it was just by pure experience for me. You know, and I thought when Mark O'Connor went off in the black card and Paul Gainey, that was 5 minutes into the game. You know, Stacks didn't make hay for that 10 or 15 minutes. You know, that was the time to drive on, especially with the breeze at their back, and they didn't. And I think going in four points up at half time for that breeze wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and we said it, we were above us in the box, and we said it, you know, they needed more than 4 points. And it was such a contrast to the week before, because when Stacks they were up four for the last kick of the game, and next thing Joe hit a 2-pointer, and you could see that bounce off the field. It's amazing how 4 points and 6 points going in at half time, it's such a difference. And it was Dingle that hit the score just before half time, and you could see the bounce came into Dingle going in at half time.
Yeah, 8-4, John, at half time. We mentioned about Paul Gaining going off and Mark O'Connor's red card. As Billy mentioned there as well, we were in the box yesterday. We said probably a 7 or 8 point swing in that wind as well. It probably wasn't enough for Stacks Green, although they did start the second half well as well.
They did, yeah, but it was, we said that during the game, that during the first half in particular, Stacks weren't you know, a great two-pointer from Armin Heinrich, but they weren't putting the scores on the board. Dingle were quite happy to, you know, slow it down, use their experience, recycle the ball. And, you know, particularly, I think, when they lost Mark O'Connor to the black card, and it, 3 or 4 minutes later, I'd say in the 7 minute, they lost Paul Ganey. And, like, two of their main men were off the field. I think both of them returned in the 13th minute. But Stax hadn't put their mark on the game while they were away.
No.
And, you know, that was, you know, we always felt with the wind at their back in the second half that Stax would have needed maybe a 6 or a 7 point lead to counteract Dingle. And that's the way it turned out. But look, well done to Dingle. You know, they've been there so many times, like Liam said. And at the end of the day, like, a lot of hurt there. But, you know, I think the way they handle themselves this year, you know, their management team, their game management, you know, the tactics on different days, and we'll speak about it in more detail, the way they deployed players, very effective. Mm-hmm. And I suppose yesterday, Paul Ganey carrying an injury, it was said during the week when we were asked, what do we think? We felt if the three Ganeys were on the field and fit, that Dingle would shade it. Mm-hmm. But there was three of them on the field, but were they fit is the question. But what an influence, yeah. You know, Paul in particular, you know, I mean, I think there's a lesson to guys that with niggles and knocks that are humming and hawing, as they say, whether they'll play or not. There was no doubt Paul Ganey was going to play yesterday, and I suppose the two goals, and we'll discuss them later on, they were the difference ultimately.
Yeah, most definitely. Liam, I suppose for people who maybe weren't at the game, maybe were listening on Radio Kerry or maybe watching on the telly as well, like, the conditions were deplorable, really. I walked in at about 1 o'clock and I was still wet when I was leaving. I got that much of a dosing heading into the box. It really was a tough day for football, wasn't it?
It was, and I suppose the one thing we were all hoping the week leading up, that we would have, you know, a nice day for football, because we had two very attacking teams, and we were looking forward to that, and like that we didn't get it. But to be fair, the weather was the same for both teams, but we just thought that Dingle would have the upper hand in it, because I suppose they probably had that bit of experience and a bit of power and a bit of strength as well. Now, Stax are there, as everyone knows, that they're a young team. They're starting off. You know, it's not a bad way to start off. You know, to come second in the county championship.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see a lot of them going forward. But I suppose the other man, our other county man, Tom Sullivan, yesterday was the guy we have to mention as well. You know,
yeah.
He was the organizer chief really for Dingle. Semi-final and final. Yesterday, I think everything in the second half that was good for Dingle, you know, Tom had a hand in it. And it was just experience, really, Ivan, that really got the Dingle over the line yesterday. Mm. And that little bit of want and little bit of hurt, because I thought after, you know, Jordan Kissan kicked the first point in the second half, pushed him out to 5 points, you know, it looked like Austin Stax and Ratmore all over again, that Stax were minding the ball, they were punching a few holes in Dingle, you know, they were trying to get the gaps, but they weren't finding the gaps, but they were recycling the ball again. And it looked like Stax could hold on here, you know, because Dingle were maybe getting a bit antsy at times. And look, I suppose, like John said, you know, sometimes you got to throw the handle after the hatchet. And I think the goal, really, the two goals, you know, there were two high balls into the square. And I think that yesterday was a day for maybe taking a chance or two. And probably Stax didn't do that in the first half. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe kick one or two balls into the full forward line at pace, and, you know, with a bit of height, because when the ball hit the ground yesterday, it just skidded like a bar of soap. And that's what happened with Paul's first goal. You know, and I think that was really the one, the catalyst that really pushed them on. And you know, Stax then, I think they went down and tapped on a few pints after. So Stax went from being up to be down 5 pints all of a sudden.
It was
a big change.
Yeah, just on Stax, John, I suppose in that first half, again, it's kind of a case of 8 points. It should be good scoring in all things considered. But again, with the breeze and everything else, you did feel that maybe if they had netted, as Liam said, maybe a sloppy goal, even of whatever sort of a sort, or maybe another 2 points or two with the wind, you'd be kind of looking at a bigger lead. But probably double scores at the halftime whistle just wasn't enough for them.
No, it wasn't enough, Ivan. And, you know, in the conditions, goals are huge in any game. But yesterday in particular, you know, that wind was ferocious. The rain, the underfoot conditions were slippery. And at the end of the day, a stat there that I was looking at is that the Stax forwards, 3 points from play. the Dingle forwards 2-5 in play. That kind of says it all, you know. They got 5 points from midfield. The Stacks, 2 midfielders, Ben Murphy 3 points, and Joe O'Connor a two pointer. But I felt that the Dingle defence, they were quite happy to bring guys back, and you know, mm-hmm. not let him through for the easy scores. You know, they were very in the face, kind of. They were back in numbers, and they were quite happy and quite content when they did get possession then to hold it and recycle it, as experienced teams do. But I suppose we'd have to mention the performance of Ben Murphy as well. You know, he's a lot has been said and written about him, and if what we hear is true, that he's going to be heading down under, all we can do is wish him well. But what a loss to Stacks and Kerry. You know, he was excellent yesterday. You know, he just glided through one of his pints in particular with the outside of his right boot. Effortless.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And what a talent. And, you know, Stacks will be very disappointed today around the Rock and their supporters, but they needn't be, because this is a very young team, as Darragh Long mentioned. You know, they're kids, a lot of them, but they're talented kids, but they just came up against an experienced team that were that little bit better yesterday.
Yeah. Liam, I suppose, given conditions, we were still treated to a very good game of football. I know it's 2 points and stuff, we're used to maybe seeing a few more scores during the summer, but 213 to 112 is still decent scoring in a county final played in a gale of a wind as well.
It was an entertaining game. No, there was, but it with the conditions the way they were, it was a game that we're probably going to be decided on a few mistakes, which is tough. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said there a second ago, it was really from the 51st minute on is when Dingle kind of, you know, got a foothold in the game. You know, big high ball kicked in. Paul Gainey, he says he went for a flick and stuff like that. I know I haven't seen it back, but on first glimpses of it, that it kind of flew off his hands and off the ground. But that comes back to experience as well. Like, they're not just let the ball in there, and especially when you have the likes of Paul Gainey and these guys inside the full forward line. Dingle knew like that Paul would win. You know, he'd been a good bet to win that kind of a ball. Then Tom Sullivan comes along and he kicks a point after that. He creates another point for Paul, and next thing they hit a 2-pointer. And then all of a sudden, I think it was really scrambled in for Austin Stacks. Keane Purcell put away the penalty. So there was great excitement, you could say, for the last maybe the last 9 or 10 minutes, 10 minutes of that game. But overall, getting back to your question, I do think we were, for the conditions and the day that was in it, I thought we were, you know, we were given a game that you couldn't ask for more, really.
Yeah. John, I suppose it was going to be kind of a game where there was going to be heavy enough hits and tackles, and that weather kind of always draws it out. And Mark, I suppose, saw the line very, very early. I suppose it is early to give out a black card, but maybe on second viewing, it was more of maybe an AFL tackle than a GAA tackle. But, you know, 10 minutes in the bin that early is tough on Dingle as well.
Yeah, it was tough. And as you said, conditions were, it was that kind of a day, the sliding and that, it was always, but Sean Jay, in fairness to him and his team of officials, they did well. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very easy to start dishing cards for tackles and stuff, but that one was one I thought maybe when we were in the box looking at it, Liam, to looking at it last night, definitely, as you said, it was, and you
and
know,
he admitted it himself as well.
He admitted it himself, no complaints from anyone, and you know, but to the credit to both sets of players, They went out to play football, to be fair. There was a few hard hits, of course. Mm-hmm. But we spoke about it off air, Ivan, and I think that, you know, on a day like that, tactics and, you know, management teams go through all these game plans and tactics. But the second goal by Paul Gainey, Tom Sullivan had the ball, the stand side, he was coming across, almost overplayed it. And I'd say, in an effort to get rid of it, he let it in route one.
Into the danger zone.
Ned Ryan won the ball. And as flash, quick as a flash, he gave it to Paul Gainey. But what a finish.
Beautiful, yeah.
By Paul Gainey. Do you know, any young fellas watching, how you finish, like, there was no doubt about Paul what he was going to do.
Yeah.
He picked his spot, and Tansley had no chance. And big players, on big occasions, they stand up. And certainly Paul did that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the first goal might have been, whatever he wants to say himself, it was a little bit of a flick, but the second one was absolutely pure class. And I think, you know, we've got, you know, you see someone like Paul Gainey, Liam, and you're kind of saying, you know, through the years, how much of a stalwart he's been for both Dingle and for Kerry. And, you know, you need your big men to step up in a county final, don't you? And, like, Dingle probably didn't need the goal at that stage. A point would have probably done them, but he had no questions when he wanted to get that goal and kind of sent the Dingle fans into rapture. Then it was probably game, set and match at that point.
Yeah, but dim decisions, Ivan, that's the difference between a good player and a great player. Mm. You know, and Paul Gainey is probably up there, John, yep. in you know, of one of Kerry's all-time great forwards, and definitely at club level. We've seen him down through the years, even when a young Paul Gainey was playing. And they're hard to get, you know, a natural scoring forward. And I always felt, and I think the start of the year, I tipped Dingle for the club championship. And the reason was, I said, if they have all the Gainey's fit, you know, they're three into county forwards. Yeah. And with the way the new rules are and the whole lot, I said, they will, you know, they'll rattle anyone. And I think the new rules have suited Dingle and has suited the forward. You know, the natural forward, as we've seen all year, is coming into play. And Dingle made hay with that yesterday because, like John said, two spectacular enough balls kicked in around the forward line and back at net. Oh, and you could see Paul's second one there. He looked like a man to me. He couldn't move. He was on one leg. But he just didn't want the replay. Don't know. if that was an ordinary forward, no, he probably would have tapped it over the bar and take a chance going three points up. But Paul said in his own head, I'm hitting the back of the net with this because I don't want to be back tomorrow. Here in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. Don't know. So yeah, you that killer instinct. Don't know. You'd love to see, and that's why them forwards are up there.
Yeah, and that's why we've such a talent pool, I suppose, of forwards in the county as well. Lads, we're going to have to take a quick break. As I say, you can get in touch with the programme. Text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, or you can give a call to the studio 066 712 3666. We'll be back with plenty more from the county final after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We'll be listening to Mark O'Connor in just a second, who was speaking after the game. John, I suppose before we listen to Mark, I mean, you talk about him coming back, and there was so much said last week when we spoke here on Terrace Talk, and you know, commended him for coming back and everything else. And you know, you go a week later and now he's a county champion. He has that medal in his pocket before he heads back down to play for Geelong again next year. You know, we'll hear it now in the interview in a second, but you know, when he kind of goes on about the parish and winning for home, that's what it is all about. And it probably takes a fella like him to go down to Australia for a couple of years, come back and play maybe one or two games for Dingle every year, and now he's that county medal in his pocket.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And Mark, certainly listening to the interviews after by Paul Gainey, Tom Sullivan and Mark, you know, you could hear the passion in their voice, what it meant to them. But Mark in particular, he's a professional player. You know, I suppose the injury to Barry Dan made it critical that Mark would play.
Yeah.
No, regardless how he played, and you know, once he was on the field, he had a presence. He has that his Dingle blood in his veins, as they say. But I think listening to what he said, the pride of the parish, the jersey, what the lads mean to him, the Gainey's and Tom Sullivan, growing up with these fellas, coming back, and you know, I think that. Tis a lesson, and tis something that young fellas out there should listen to, you know, and the commitment to your own parish is very important. This is a guy that has scaled the heights in Australian rules, and he's a top player out there, and he's certainly confirmed that he is, and justified. He's going out there if it needed to be justified. But, and we spoke about it before, Liam and myself and several others, about the loss he is to Kerry. But to come back and do that for Dingle without hesitation, fantastic. And an example, it shows what GA means to these players. You know, they might go away, they might be away from home, and they might be in other codes, but they don't forget where they came from.
No, absolutely not. We'll talk more about Mark Connor in a sec, but I do want to listen to what he had to say. He spoke to Tommy Rooney after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Mark O'Connor, congratulations, the county champion with Dingle. You came home to play with your teammates, your clubmates, and you got the job done.
We did, finally. And it's just extra special. We're such a small town, and obviously it's been the same faces that have been in the crowd ever since I was under 10s. So giving a look up to the crowd before the game is probably didn't help me at all. My emotions were probably a bit too high. But look, that happens, and I don't care, really. We got through.
To be fair, it was a total AFL-style pull-down. It was like the tackle you could get away with over in Australia.
Yeah, but obviously not here.
Yeah.
And I was aware of that. I kind of got stood on, and I was like, oh, I don't know, I didn't think about it. It just kind of happened, which is unfortunate, obviously.
And the emotions are just so high, though. And as you mentioned as well, all the people you grew up with and won schools titles with underage and minor titles with underage as well. How much does that mean?
It means everything. I kind of broke down later on. My voice is gone. I broke down with... if I get into it now, I'll probably start crying again, so I won't do that on camera. But yeah, looking up, seeing my family in the stands, and as I said, the same faces, it's the parents and the lads that have that were playing out there today, and they raised us all the way through, so to see them is it's very hard to keep a lid on things. And with our history, we're not the biggest club, as I mentioned, so going back to 1948 was the last time, so trying to keep a lid on that is tough.
And especially when a group are knocking on the door for so long, and it doesn't always happen when a special generation comes into a club. Sometimes they just don't make it happen, but you got over the line today.
We finally did. We were very successful underage, as you mentioned, but a lot of things happened in the meantime. Immigration, fellas move away for work.
You have the privilege of playing pro sports too, right? You've seen it at the top level, and I'm sure... becoming a team and being a family with your teammates over there as well is something special too, but it's just a bit different here, is it?
It is. There's no denying that. Like, you move away from your home, it's different here. It's more personal. As I mentioned, I know everyone that's in the stand.
I'll give you a technical one.
Yeah.
The new rules, how are you finding them?
Not great, clearly. Mind you, that was never a rule, the pull-down. That was never allowed here, so I can't blame that. But last week, I obviously made a mistake as well. I kicked it out over the end line, not knowing.
But you had come in with two big fetches just before that as well, you know. So it's you've made such an impact. And talking to Paul and Tom as well, they spoke about you coming back and the boost that gave the squad as well.
Yeah, and look,
that's not straightforward too, coming home and playing.
Not at all. There's been new rules every time I came home, so... And I kind of had to learn on the fly. I mean, I had two sessions maybe before the last game. So it was a bit freeing in a sense. I was like, I can't, you know, like, the times that I've come home, like I played fullback one time in Kieran Donaghy. I played fullback in Shawnee O'Shea a couple of years ago. So I just kind of have to take it as it comes. And these are crazy challenges, and I know that. But
well, you had some massive turnovers today. You had some big fetches the last in the semi-final. But to win it with your club mates and the boys you grew up with and the people that coached you underage, I know you're very emotional, Mark, but congratulations and enjoy the celebrations.
I will, Tommy. Thank you.
Fair play. Go guard this lad.
Thank you.
Mahou. Yeah, so I think there, Liam, it's the emotion in his voice, number one. And it does go to show that, you know, even the top athletes in the world, John mentioned there, you know, went off to had a really successful career with Geelong, has won the AFL below there, one of their strongest standout players, really. And you still come back and, you know, you say you look up in the stand and, you know, you see, you know, the faces. It's something you probably just don't get in Australia or with professional sports, that kind of sense of closeness. You could see it even when all the kind of pitch invasion at the end of the game, it was all kind of families. And, you know, even during that interview, I watched the video that earlier on, a lot of people were just hugging him as he was talking. It's that kind of local element of Gaelic games, and to bridge a 77-year gap, it's what it's all about.
Yeah, Ivan, and I suppose, look, you got a couple of texts in here in the last couple of weeks about should Mark O'Connor be playing with Dingle. No, and I think that interview sums up why Mark O'Connor is playing with Dingle. No, he's one of their own. You know, you could see the passion, and you know, he like he said himself, he nearly broke down looking up at people who were training him, his family, everyone above in the stand. And you know, and I think that's what Dingle have probably in abundance. I suppose is it the West culture back there, or some, whatever it is. You know, they're a very tight knit group. You know, the biggest thing for players away coming back is, can they be accepted into the dressing rooms? And you could see every year Mark came back, he was accepted by the players
straight away.
You know, I'd say there was players willing to hand their jersey over to him just to get him on the field because they wanted to get over the line. You know, because I think this was more than just the medal. I think this was about going into folklore, you know, because, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, I don't think they were worried about Munster or All-Ireland campaigns. They wanted to win this because they've been knocking at the door for so long, so much hurt. But listening to Mark's interview yesterday and now, it just shows like the passion and that he has for.
And he's away from it for most of the year.
He's away from it, yeah. You can give him all the money in the world and all the, you know, the big accolades that he's going to get with playing in Australia and Geelong and the whole lot. But winning a county championship with Dingle will probably be one of the highest up there for him.
For his career, yeah, it's amazing. Even to come away from Mark, John and Tom Sullivan was the same yesterday. I think when he scored the first of those two late points, he kind of turned to the stand and he was kind of pointing at the badge and kind of the fist bump went up. And, you know, just it does kind of say, like, Joe, we're doing this for Dingle and the townspeople. And you could see it in those homecoming, the crowd that was there, number one, in Dingle late last night and carrying the cup over the bridge in Blenheville and they have all that sort of traditional sort of bonfire-y kind of stuff. You know, it goes a long way in the sport, and it's, you know, you're not playing for money in the GAA, so we are playing for kind of pride of the parish, and it is great to see, you know, for Dingle and for the neutral. I was a neutral there yesterday as well. It's great to see someone else kind of can come in and do that, and that mantle in those kind of years of hurt as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I suppose as you said, the hurt getting so close, not winning it, and sometimes it's easier to fellas trot at it, and they're not going to, you know, they mightn't win, and there's a bit of negativity going on in the background and stuff. Not in Dingle, they rally the troops and, you know, they'll go again. And Mark coming in, I didn't hear Padraig Corcoran or any of the lads talking about Barry Dan, about the injuries to the Gainies through the club campaign. It was a difficult club championship for him, you know, missing 8 or 9 players.
They were held together with tape, really.
But not a word. It says about the strength, Tommy Griffin and Jim Garvey and all these guys. There's no negativity coming from the camp. You know, they got on with it. And they went out there yesterday and, you know, gone over. The small things is what makes a big difference, you know, and that's what sets out clubs. You know, we spoke about Dr. Crokes a few weeks ago here, calling to Jamie Doolan, the late Jamie Doolan's grave with a cup. Mm-hmm. That's a club doing the right things. Yesterday, Dingle, they went over Blenheville Bridge. They were around with their supporters. The passion, we saw what it meant to them. And, you know, the likes of Aidan O'Shea come in and Weldon coming in there, you know, I think they needed something extra.
New voices, yeah.
New voices, mm-hmm. And they did it. And, like, to see Jack O'Shea, one of the greatest midfielders of all times, out celebrating after yesterday, his son involved, I think it shows what the GAA is all about. That, you know, that identity where you're from, which is always very important. I'm very strong on that myself always, and I think that, you know, you go out, you do your best. If you're beaten by a better team, you go again. And by God, Dingle have done that, and they've got to the top of the hill. Like Liam said, I don't think Munster and All-Ireland was in their minds. They're county champions now. That's for another day.
Yeah, a couple of weeks down the road, and you're sure they'll definitely give Munster, if not the All-Ireland series, a good rattle as well, because they've got a strong team. A lot of your texts to get to, they're flying in this evening. Good evening to the panel. I'm delighted for Dingle. It's impossible not to think of Micheál Amara Hurtig on such an occasion. The whole club must have felt so deflated following last year's final, but they've displayed tremendous fortitude to knuckle down and bring Bishop Moynihan back home to Dingle. That's from Ben. Thanks for that, Ben, as well. Lots of people go to Dingle for summer holidays, but the Bishop has chosen the winter, from Sean, Nancy and Rachel, Dingle's biggest supporters. Yeah, I'm sure the Bishop will be one of the most visitor with the most pride around Dingle for the next couple of weeks. Bringing back Dylan Casey killed the spirit of the Stacks players. That's another one in. We might discuss that soon. Hi lads, big congrats to Dingle. No, we can begrudge them on their win. They've earned it over the last 10 years. This Stacks team will be back as they have aid in their side. Some brilliant young players there. Also want to mention Sean Joy, the ref, who I thought managed the game very well throughout, despite the tough conditions. Good evening. Just want to congratulate Dingle on their fantastic achievement yesterday, and especially my old Kerry goalkeeper colleague in Dearwood Murphy. Delighted for him and Bridget. That's from Sean Bourne in Cremorne. Up Dingle, says Sean de Bourne. So kind of an array of messages coming in. If you want to get in touch with your view on the game yesterday or anything else from the sporting world, 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can give a call to 066 712 3666. We've taken another break on this evening's Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Hi, welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 7 o'clock this evening. We're in the midst of our chat on the Garvey Super Value County Senior Football Championship. As I said, you can get in touch with the programme 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or 066 712 3666. Liam, I suppose looking at the defeated final, it's always kind of a tough day today on Rock Street and in our own Connolly Park, I'd imagine, but it's definitely a team, as I said, maybe minus Ben Murphy if he does head off, but the huge bones of a strong team for the next, you know, quite a number of years. They were so young even yesterday in comparison to Dingle, and, you know, yesterday's experience, although they mightn't be thinking that today, that will stand to them.
Yeah, and you could see it yesterday, even, you know, the youth versus the experience. And look, Stacks are they are a very young team, but the only thing about it here in Kerry is that you're not, there's no divine right to get back to this position again. You know, county finals, I remember playing with St. Kieran's January as well. We got to one in 98 and we thought, geez, this is easier. And we haven't got to one since. Yeah. No, so it just doesn't happen because it's such a competitive competition. You're playing against the best, really. You know, but in that, Stacks have the players coming through. If they can keep them together and keep them playing, I know minus Ben Murphy. They're Division One County League champions this year. So they are building. You could see even up in the hill beside us, they had another maybe 10 or 12 young fellas from the under 21 that weren't tagged out, but they were part of the panel.
Yeah. You
know, so they have a huge pick, but sometimes that can be a lot harder. You know, then you might be better off with less of a pick.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Stacks are going to be there and thereabouts for the next couple of years. But like I said, there's no divine right to come back to another county final. They'll have to put in a huge effort.
Yeah.
And it's something that, look, compared to where they were, like two years ago, they were down in intermediate. No, it took them 2 years to come out of intermediate. They came out of intermediate and within 12 months they were in the county final. You know, so they've made huge strides. I think, look, like as there is a bit of hurt there today, I think when everything calms down and when they think back of the year they're after having, they can be quite proud of themselves. But they'll have to start all over again. They're at the bottom of the mountain again, even the same as everybody else.
Everyone's back to square one again. I suppose, John, just on that, like you talk about the coming up from the intermediate and everything else, it's a huge step up again. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, we had this conversation last week, the week before, about the intermediate championship and how difficult of a championship it is. And they didn't come out of it first time either. And, you know, coming back up out of that, you're kind of coming back into another different level with the senior setup again. And you'll go straight to not even the club final, but to the county final against those district sides as well. You know, huge trumps to Austin Stacks for that, and kind of that bounce back from kind of an all-time low for a club like Austin Stacks to be an intermediate team. I think it's fair to say that, to come back and then get to county final. Big change in 12 or 15 months.
Big change. You know, they're unquestionable, the amount of young talent they have. 220 titles, getting a minor for county final. You know, the likes of Daniel Kirby and Paddy Lane, look, Cian Purcell and Jordan Cassan, Ben Murphy. You know, they're class acts, in fairness.
School as well, of course.
School as well, Mount Hawk, you know, doing really well. But like Liam said, you know, in spite of all those positives, you know, you mightn't dad along in an interview during the week in Radio Kerry. He said he played in a county final, and I know, was it 10 or 12 years before he got back to another one? I'm not saying that's not going to happen now, but it's so competitive in Kerry. And this year in particular, like with Dr. Croke's East Kerry gone, you know, it was a great chance to win a county title. Mm. But look, they came up against the Dingle team, and you've always to put into the scenario for a club team that they have a county league, they have the club championship, and then you go into the county senior championship. That's really competitive. You know, it's draining on the resources, and if you get injuries at the wrong time of the year, you're virtually gone. Because how many weeks in a row was it? 5 or 6 weeks in a row, you know. And it's so competitive. Conditions getting worse. So look, a great year for the Stacks. They mightn't agree with that today, but you know they've made great strides under Darragh Long and his management team. They'll be sitting down and they'll be planning. Obviously, if Ben Murphy is gone, he's going to be a huge loss. You know, similar to Mark O'Connor and Dingle. This was a debate that went on, you know, a few years ago back in Dingle. And, you know, Mark did go. This is something that there's a bigger picture here about players going. Can you blame them? Not at all. It's a chance of a lifetime. And if he does go, but he's going to be a huge loss to Kerry football. But Stacks have a lot of players, and I've no doubt they will be back.
Yeah, that experience as well, Liam, that Darragh Long has, obviously with the Kerry ladies and everything. You know, previously a strong manager as well to have at the helm, and you know he'll kind of maybe reflect on yesterday, maybe not today or tomorrow, but a long kind of winter there. But again, the county league starts up so quickly that the season is nice and tight. You know, there's not much time to be resting your laurels and come Christmas Day and the Christmas buds are eaten, they'll be back out and look ahead to another County League campaign as well next year.
They will. Like I said, we were at the bottom of the mountain again, and it starts all over. And without a doubt, like, Dara Long is probably up there as one of the best managers in around. You know, he's proved that with the Kerry Ladies, from where himself and Declan brought him to the top of the mountain, you could say. And you could see he went back into his beloved Austin Stacks, and he's after bringing him to a county final, a Division One County League title, a county championship final. You know, so with a very young side. But I think, look, he'll know himself. Like every management team that John, we've been involved in as well, you make mistakes, and you'll learn by them. And there'll be different scenarios where you'll say, "Geez, I could have handled that a different way." To keep players happy and all this kind of stuff. But I think, look, Stacks are on the upward curve. They have the players. But the only thing I would fear is they have such a bunch of players. How do you keep them all happy?
Yeah,
that kind of a way. But there is a lot of club football there, so yeah. I think Dara will enjoy the role. Will enjoy the role of trying to keep everyone happy, because, like you said, you have so many competitions for club at the moment. But it's just to see how can they get back to this position again in the coming years, because it's hard to get back to a county final.
Yeah. John, I suppose just in general, we're sitting here in Tralee this evening, and we were talking about maybe football in the town had kind of dropped off, especially when Austin Stacks had gone down. You're looking at Rathley's down there as well, and Mitchell's, of course, and then Nagail were kind of struggling senior, but this year we've kind of seen that kind of bit of resurgence. We saw Nagail get to the club final and a huge run for them, and then Stacks look again just falling short. But two clubs getting to two senior finals this year, and you mentioned about the success that Mount Hawke have had, in the schools game as well, and Stacks underage. It's always good for the town to see that kind of strength come back into it again after a couple of years away.
Yeah, it is, and I suppose, look, it goes in cycles, Ivan, and it's not so long ago since we were listening to comments coming in here on Radio Kerry on a Monday night that have to divide up East Kerry. They were winning so much, and they were dominant. So Kerry, down the years had won county titles. Crokes were dominant. It goes in cycles, and certainly Tralee football, it was teams down in the intermediate level, but they're down there for a reason, and that's how competitive it is. But Stacks back up, and no doubt Rahalies and Mitchells will be chomping at the bit to get back up the tables again. And it's all about what's happening. We've spoken about it before, the coaching that's going on in the districts is top class. There's a lot of talent out there. The schools are going well. Mount Hawkers were certainly dominant. Tralee CBS are always going to be a force. So it's along with St Brendan's, they'd be the dominant teams at different times. So it's difficult. There's so many different things for young fellas now, and like Liam said, I think he made a very good point there about the youth. Not alone with Austin Stacks, a lot of these guys want to travel, all around the county. We hear it, and you have a talented young fella, he's gone to Australia, or he's gone to wherever, Dubai or wherever it is. That's something you can't stop, but you have to make the most of it when you have it. And I think that we're fortunate that we have a lot of upcoming young talent in this county, and we've seen them perform throughout this year. And I think particularly, and I've said it before, the county players have done really well, but the fringe players that have been in the extended panel have really done well. And that's a very positive note for the Kerry management and for the GA in Kerry, that the training and coaching and strength and conditioning they're getting is really standing to them. And when they win to a county championship or a club championship, they stand out, and that's very important.
Yeah. Actually, just on that note, Liam, I suppose it was kind of a good mix of clubs getting to finals and everything else. District side's playing well. Plenty for Jack O'Connor and his management team to be mulling over after two good championships in the kingdom, and kind of played off very, very quickly since the All-Ireland as well.
Without a doubt, and like John said, I fully agree with him, and we've spoken about it, that the players that were inside with Jack, probably from 25 down to 35, they're really guys that held their hand up in the county championship. And we are firm believers here that our senior county championship is where you actually see your county footballers. Now, I know the club championship has been so good and so, but here you're playing against the best, because the districts are coming together with the best junior footballers, the best intermediate footballers. They're joining up. So the guy that you, that in the opposite jersey to you, you know when you go out, he's going to be a good footballer. So you're going to have to up our game. And I think that's where the county championship comes into its own. And definitely Jack O'Connor and his management team have a vast pool. And I suppose, John, not too long ago, we were sitting around the table here and we were trying to figure out who would Jack O'Connor pick.
Yeah.
And we were saying that Jack O'Connor has what he has. But yeah, now there's fellas holding their hands up that's going to be pushing for jerseys this year, whether it's on the first 15 or on the squad, you know, so which only bodes well for the green and gold.
Absolutely, it's something to be thinking about as well as we head towards the dark winter evenings. I'm sure there'll be plenty of thought and pencils rubbed out and back in again of who might be in or around the place. As I say, get in touch with the programme 083 300 3300. We have to take another break on Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Radio, welcome back to Terrace Talk. Another great game by the other midfielder, Billy O'Connor for Dingle, and love Paul Ganey's speech, Osquelga. That is another nice side, Liam, isn't it? The kind of the Irish element of the speech and everything else. It's another kind of bit of tradition with our games, and obviously we know from the likes of Dingle and Ungwelta that they can bring that Irish language with them as well.
It is, Ivan, and they're very proud of their tradition back west, and you could see from Paul's speech yesterday the way he carried it and thanked everyone. No, it is it's like I said, it's something very special back there that they have, that you'd love to bottle it and bring it into other clubs.
Yeah, I remember when we used to go playing Gaelic underage and we could hardly speak a word of Irish. All their tactic moves were discussed on Osquelga against us as well, so a good advantage to have. But speaking of Paul Ganey, we can hear from him now. He was also chatting to Tommy Rooney after the game.
Paul Ganey, you've had many fine days on a football field. How sweet is this?
This is up there. Sir Ford attempted this and halfway through that second half, it didn't look like it was going to be our day. But we just promised each other that we'd stick at it for 60, because last year we probably gave up a little bit early after we had a sucker punch of a goal, and we were very disappointed with that. But I suppose, look, you've got to keep on knocking at the door. And we said that about 5 years ago, that we haven't been consistent enough. We go late into the competition and then we'd bow out the next year in the first round, or the second round, and it wasn't good enough. And in fairness, the management team know, have been with us for 5 or 6 years and they've been driving standards, and in the last 2-3 years the players themselves have been driving the standards. It's just an incredible day for Dingle, an incredible day. What a day.
It's glorious. You're nearly 80 years waiting on this to bring the Bishop Moynihan back,
yeah,
back west. You said you'll have a fine Christmas with it.
Absolutely.
It'll be nearly a holiday till Christmas time. But like, it struck me that you didn't panic really at all. I know you had the wind with you, but you're still behind until that little spell with it about 10 minutes to go. The long ball in from Tom, how did you manage to manoeuvre into the back of the net?
Well, I felt there was going to be a keeper maybe coming out. It was like, I roughly knew where the goal was and I was going to catch it, but I just felt that if I tried to, I seen a few balls going through fellas' hands with that, you know, this it was so skippy. So I just said, I'll just touch it on, and like a glance of a header in soccer, just hope that it finds the back post. And Jesus, when I turned around, the keeper nearly had it. Like, so I would have looked like an awful idiot if it didn't come off.
Well,
thanks to God. It was pivotal really in the end, really, you know.
A glorious finish. Obviously, Tom then gets the point off the back foot. A 2.3. It looks like you're home and hosed as the cup goes by your shoulder. But Stacks get that penalty, and it wasn't done yet. Is there a panic at that stage at all?
No, I don't think so either. Gavin Rickon, he got a touch on the ball, but I suppose it was a bit rash, and we could have probably... Ben Murphy was run through and we probably could have taken him earlier, and we left him go, and then Dylan was caught with over the top. He tracked the run, but it was just a perfect pass, and the keeper has to do something there, I suppose. So, but no, I don't think so. I think we were all right. I think still, I mean, the first half was where we probably won the game. We went down to 14 men and we were pinned in for a lot of it, and we actually only ended up 4 down at half time. So
massive.
It was huge. No, we didn't start too well in the second half. Connor had a shot for 2 very early, and it went wide, and then we didn't see the ball up there for a long time.
And you then made hay.
Well, we did after. I had a shot. We actually ended up getting a point after. It dropped short, but we turned it over, and I think from there on we started to squeeze them.
Yeah.
And just, we really squeezed them in, and we turned them over a good few times, and that was the key, really. We actually upped our tempo. We weren't happy with our tackle count at halftime, and I think in the second half our tackle count went through the roof, and especially in the key areas when they were trying to come out. And also,
you've had a couple of superb generations of footballers coming through, but sometimes it doesn't happen. But you managed to get everybody on the field. I know you had injuries, Connor had injuries, Tom had injuries across the year, Mark came home from the AFL. It all just seemed to come together for you.
Yeah, at one point there we were playing with one of our backs from the county final last year, Tom Leo, and he soldiered on through the whole lot. He was probably the only fellow who was available for the whole lot. But look, there's fierce steel in the group. Maybe going out early in the club gave us a month to kind of steady the ship and get a bit of fitness and make sure that there was no other injuries to the team. Matthew Flaherty came back as well, and he's been a huge player for us, and he was massive game again today by him.
That's an interesting point he made there, Liam, the kind of, you know, that being out of the kind of club championship kind of gave him a month to sort of prepare. It's a dangerous time because you're probably disappointed over losing in a club championship, but Kerry has that kind of unique affair. You can go into a county championship kind of fresh again, and maybe with a bee in your bonnet after getting knocked out of a club championship. It's something that Kerry does offer, and as you said, that kind of 4 week period was huge for them.
Yeah, and you could see it was Stacks were in the same, John. I remember we came out the day Stacks were beat, and we could see the Stacks management team on the field, and we remarked like that they were hurting. You know, so it does give you time to, you know, to, you could say, circle the wagons and get things right, and any few injuries maybe sort them out. And I think that them couple of weeks probably did help Stacks and Dingle. And like I said earlier, I'm just how Dingle. No, with, like I said, they were held together with tape. Like Paul Gainey had one leg, probably since the semi-final. No, we thought it was a masterstroke that he was standing off on the sideline with Mike Breen, no, keeping him out of the play. But I'd say he had to stand there because the leg couldn't go any further. And yesterday was the same. And John made the comment earlier that it just shows for other young players out there, you know, that what you have to sacrifice a small bit. Now, a lot of us have seen players down through the years, they might have a broken nail and they mightn't show up for you. Whereas guys like this, you can't manufacture that. That's either in you or it's not. And you could see Conor Gainey as well. I was watching him in the warm up the week before. He had a massive bandage on the leg. Yesterday, I know it was a psychological thing or what, but it was a smaller bandage, you know. So and he was struggling, you know. So it was just amazing how Dingle, you know, got over the line with the injuries they had, and it just shows the togetherness they had with the management, you know, the S&C teams, the medical teams, the whole lot. And I suppose that thing that we said we'd love to have bottled, that team spirit that they have, you know, it was fantastic.
Absolutely. Paul Gainey, next Kerry captain, John, without question.
Well, I'd say so. Dingle won the county championship. I can't see anyone else being nominated from Dingle, only Paul, and what a leader. Like Liam said, he's been doing this for quite a number of years now, but, you know, there's people saying, like, you know, at his age, how long can he keep going? But I think this has been one of his better years, being honest with you. Yeah. His leadership.
No rules, yeah.
Yeah. He made a comment there after... 2 years ago, was it, when Kerry were beaten, that, you know, the following week he picked up the bag and he went off with Dingle and he wanted to get back playing. And I think you can see how much it means to him when you listen to those audios there, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think, to go back to your point about the break, I think it suited Dingle more than Stacks. Sorry, it suited Dingle, leave Stacks out of it, because Dingle had so many injuries.
Yeah.
They wanted that few weeks just to get the injuries right. And we saw from the first round of the championship along, they were trickle feeding the lads back. You know, Dylan Gainey came on, he got a few minutes. Connor came on and got, you know, and they started to get them. And Paul had the injury, but they were getting stronger as Connors went along. And I think that was very important for them. And the hurt, of course, by not qualifying both Stacks and Dingle. Despite the injuries, that was something that they went away and reflected on, and it just goes to show that, as we said before, the time frame with so many games and highly competitive, injuries can play a huge part.
Yeah. In a minute or less, Liam, it was an exciting championship throughout. We got some great games. We had some big hitters knocked out nice and early. We'll be looking at the team of the championship after 7. But overall, a fairly good championship after what a lot of people had said kind of about it and everything else. We got treated to a very good championship in 25.
I think we did, Ivan. I suppose the major talking point, I suppose, with the crowds coming to the matches. But as for entertainment value, for being at the matches, I thought most of the games, you know, I just wrote down here today, just the three top games for me really was the South Kerry v St. Brendan's game. It was the first one. Like, that finished 420 to 126 inside and Fitzgerald Stadium. It was a fantastic game. The Crokes Mid Kerry game, John, I suppose, was the next one. It was a very good game. And I thought the Dingle West Kerry game was the game really for me that had everything. You know, there was Boyce, you had the local derby, there was crunching tattles, there was everything in it. You know, so I thought, overall, I thought it was a very entertaining championship.
Absolutely. Well, look, we'll be talking more. We'll have our player of the year. There's a poll on Twitter at Terrace Talk RK there. Have a look on the player of the championship, and we'll be naming our 1 to 15 after 7 o'clock. We'll also be chatting ladies football with Dan Carney, so don't go away.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Liam and John are still here, but they're out deliberating on the final places on the team of the championship. If you have any recommendations, you can get in touch. 083 300 3300 is the text or WhatsApp on that. We'd also be naming our player of the championship. We currently have a poll over on Twitter as well. If you head over, or X, that's what they call it now, and head over to the Terrace Talk RK there, you'll see the poll running, and you can pop in a vote for one of your favourite players, and the lads will be deciding a little later on. But after all that's been said about the men's game over the weekend, we had three of our ladies' sides in Munster semi-finals, and we had three fantastic wins for the girls in both the senior, intermediate and the junior. Delighted to be joined by Dan Carney, our resident ladies' football man on the line. Dan, you're welcome along. I suppose first and foremost, Southern Gales, fantastic win, and a big 13 point win at that as well.
Yeah, a big win for Southern Gales. I kind of expected it. Brian Boru was travelling down to Waterville from Tipperary, and you know, it's never easy going to Waterville, but when you're Tipperary champions, you're coming down to meet the Kerry champions and a Southern Gales team in good form. You know, I always expected it to be that way, and so it was, and Southern Gales got the job done. Did really, really well. Played good football at times and managed it, and you know, held Brian Bruce to only 3 points, which is an achievement in itself, really and truly. And I suppose Rachel Dwyer there was in good form inside in the corner. She got 1-4, three from free. So they had a nice spread of scorers there. Katie Foster got 1-1 as well. Chief Roche was pulling the strings as ever. Got a point, and Mirren T and Mayor's Lines. You know, so a good spread of scorers there for Southern Gales. Probably not the test they needed going into a Munster final, really. They probably needed a harder test, but they can only play what's in front of them. And, you know, I think Brian Bruce, I think they have a lot of girls caught up in Camogie and things like that, but that's not to take away from a fine Southern Gales win. They're going to the final now against Cumbria Rangers next Sunday, and that's going to be a different kettle of fish altogether.
Yeah, talk to me as well about Cumbria Rangers, of course, Waterford champions. We've heard that name a couple of times over the last couple of years against Kerry clubs, Dan, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I suppose, look, they broke the strangled hold of Ballymacarbery last year in Waterford. Ballymacarbery had won the Waterford County Championship 42 times in a row, I believe. And Cumbria Rangers came along and they broke that strangled hold. Reached Munster final, met Desmond's. Desmond's got off to a great start in that Munster final, and it probably was a huge factor in Desmond's beating them. But I can assure you, Desmond's had a lot of anxious moments in that game. They're a top side. They've a load of Waterford intercounty players. You know, they're led by the Murrays, the Murray triplets, Emma, Katie, and Aoife. Three fantastic players, particularly Emma. She's an outstanding footballer. They have another sister, Cora, on the team as well. They have players like Ava Connolly, Eileen Power, Clodagh Power, Anna Power, Orla Kennedy. They're a top side. Southern Gales are going to be up against it. The one thing about Cumbria Rangers, they run and run and run with the ball. They're a running team. Southern Gales, different style. Southern Gales like to get the ball in early. So it's going to be a contrast of styles in this game. And look, it's a very, very hard one to call. I think, you know, like everything, a bit of luck on the day and et cetera. I think they're going to be two very evenly matched teams. I haven't seen Cumbria Rangers play this year. Naturally, I've seen Southern Gales. But if Cumbria Rangers is anything like last year, it's going to be a serious battle for the Gales. But look, when you see players like Shea Froche, who's playing out for skin at the moment, Rachel Dwyer, you know, Anna Galvin, Mirren Tian has been a huge addition this year. to the Southern Gael side. You know, she's come in there in midfield. She's a basketball international, fabulous player. And of course, Southern Gaels do have history of beating Cumber Rangers. They beat them in a Munster B final in 2023. So, look, they have that up in them already. I would argue that Southern Gaels have probably actually improved since then. I think their side has possibly got stronger. So, you know, does that mean that Southern Gaels are going to bring the cup back home, the Michael Ryan Cup back home to Kerry again? Possibly, and what an achievement that would be for Kerry clubs. You know, I mean, Kerry clubs hadn't won senior championship for in Munster for so long, and if we were get two back-to-backs, it'd be a phenomenal achievement, and here's hoping that they do get over the line.
Absolutely. Moving on to the intermediate then, Dan, a good win again for Clonmac and Moyvan. Didn't have it all their own way, I don't think. Won by 6 points in the end over a strong Liscannor team from Clare.
Absolutely, and what an occasion it was in Moyvan. You know, the Clonmac and Moyvan supporters, they really get behind their team. That's side upper North Kerry, you know, and they were all in Conbrosnan Park, and a fantastic crowd. A good day for a game. Liscannor came with a mission, though. They came to try and topple, I suppose, the Kerry side, and they gave a damn good account of it. And really, you know, again, it came down to Clonmac and Moyvan's fitness. Their fitness levels we could see it in the county final. You know, in the last, I think it was the last 20 minutes of the county final against MKL Gales, they scored 1-4 to a point.
Yeah.
And the last day against Liscannor, they scored 1-5 without reply in the last 20 minutes. And that's essentially what won the game for them. They won by 6 points. It was a damn good Liscannor side, though, must be said. And it was like really at the very, very last minute, come back in my van. I think it was Marie Kennelly was on as a sub. She took the ball off the shoulder, stuck it into the back of the net. They were only 3 points up. Liscannor were coming strong. They were throwing high ball in. Danielle Clemmer was doing very, very well to cope with it inside in the Clown Mac and My Van goal. But then Clown Mac and My Van, they broke at pace, a ball up the field, and that girl came off the shoulder. She stuck it into the back of the net. And that really, that set the crowd alight. That Clown Mac and My Van alight, and they knew they were in the Munster final. And look, they've got a serious chance in this Munster final. They've got a great chance. I think, you know, they'll go in there. They've nothing to lose. They don't know how to lose. They're a team. You know, now what I will say is they are playing Naoimh Vaughan from Cork. Now Naoimh Vaughan are a top Cork side. They've been around the, you know, they've been a senior club at various stages. They won the Cork County Championships, beat Middleton in the final by 2-11 to 1-6, you know, and that, I mean, they had lost the finals in 23 and 24. So they built up a resilience, like, you know, they are a very resilient side, had a good run through Munster. You know, they had a tough enough test the last day against Mike Harkey, Boris of Tipperary, but they emerged at 2-15, 2-9 winners. And they have Cork seniors like Rosie Corkery and Amy and Lydia McDonough, and Ava McAuliffe, who can score. She can score as well if given space. So they're a good side. They'll be a tough side. You know, they're from the Gaeltacht area there in Cork, so they don't breed them soft down there. Like, so look, at the end of the day, you can never back against this Clonmac and My Van team. Anytime it's put up to them, they've had the answers. They've had the answers in the county final, and they had the answers the last day in the Munster semi-final. So here's hoping for a second Kerry victory there.
Yeah, and finally, Dan, I was on the desk here on Saturday and heard your Champions League-esque commentary on the free kick-taking competition. But no matter what way you win it, you can win it, and fair play to come on. They won it on, do you want to call it penalties or free kicks? I don't know what way you want to phrase it.
I'll tell you what, though, it was some occasion, you know, and it was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, both sides had such good free kick takers that, you know, I was even thinking, God, goodness gracious, are we ever going to get out of here tonight? But unfortunately for Dahanis, one of their players who had put over her first one, she made a right hash of the second one, and, you know, Cremon took advantage and they scored the winner. And it's an awful way to go. You know, I always think that, you know, if it goes extra time and there's a draw for extra time, I think it has to go to replay. Now, I know there was fixtures made in Munster and stuff, and they're coming up next weekend, so that's fair enough. But I think that provision should be in there. But that's a thought for another day. Again, Cremon, they do get out at times. At times, it looked like Dahanis were the better side. It looked like Dahanis with come on, look, there's a resilience in these three Kerry teams that are going into Munster Finals this weekend. They kept at it, led by Roisin Griffin. She scored the equaliser there to bring it to extra time. Absolutely marvellous kick. It hung in the air. It looked like it was going wide. It came back in. Brilliant. She scored 2-3 overall. A huge factor in Cremon's win on the day, as was the likes of Roisin Smith, Mary Kate Smith, her sister, Emma Burke, outstanding at full forward. She scored 5 points, and Sholo O'Donovan at the back, I thought, was really, really good. Shannon Foley, again, very well coached team by Anna Maria O'Donoghue and PJ Reedy. Another team in with a serious shout in the final. I think they will win the final as well. I think they'll be bringing silverware back to Cremon. And please God, we'll have three Kerry teams with silverware come Sunday evening.
Yeah, so you're talking Saturday at 3:30 in Mallow. That's Cremon against St. Pat's of Tipperary. Then a doubleheader on Sunday. Intermediate finals at 1, Clonmacnoise against Naiva Bawn of Cork. And at 3:30, Southern Gaels taking on Comer Rangers of Waterford. A good chance for neutrals to go up there next Sunday. No kind of men's football in the county or anything else. County Championship over and done with. So maybe a good chance for a few neutrals, Dan, to head off to Mallow and enjoy a good spectacle over the weekend.
Please God, yeah. You know, I mean, obviously there'll be a good share from the three different teams. They'll have all their good share of supporters, but it'd be great if there was a lot of other Kerry people went up to support these Kerry teams, because these are heady times for Kerry club teams. You know, I mean, up to the last couple of years, you would not see this. You would not see even at senior level. Like, we've always been able to put a team in at junior or intermediate level. You know, I mean, you might have one each year, but not always successful, it must be said. There's been a bit of success over the years, but not always. But to have three Kerry teams, and three Kerry teams really going in as favourites, you know, is phenomenal. You know, and it's a testament to the amount of work being done out there and how Kerry club football has come on. And yeah, like you say, your initial point, it'd be fantastic to see supporters going up there and supporting these girls, because they deserve it every much. And I can tell you, these three clubs, they are very, very tight-knit communities, and three clubs that, you know, the people involved with them are good, good football people. And like I say, it'd be great if they got the support next Saturday and next Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good chance to watch Munster Finals as well. Always a top level of sport. Dan, thanks a million for taking the time out to see you. And we'll definitely chat to you again next Monday. And hopefully there might be three bits of silver after coming back over to County Bounds.
Brilliant stuff, Ivan, and please God, we will. We'll have three cups back in the kingdom, and what an occasion that'll be.
Absolutely.
For Kerry club football.
One big homecoming. Fair play, Dan. Thanks a million. That's Dan Carrier there, our resident ladies football expert. And yeah, look, it must be said, fantastic achievement. Three Kerry clubs into Munster finals there in ladies football, all taking place next weekend. We'll be back to Dan again next week to look back on those three finals. But after this break, we're heading back to the county championship, and the all important team of the year and player of the year is about to be announced here on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now we're back for the all-important team of the championship. A couple of your texts to get to before we head into that with the lads. Would you know if Mark O'Connor is going to be available for the Munster and All-Ireland Championship for Dingle? I'd imagine he's home, so he'd be home for Christmas, you'd be automatically presuming. I think the AFL season, pre-season kind of starts the end of their summer, which is kind of February into March. Yeah. So probably around for the Munster campaign, you'd definitely say.
Definitely around for the Munster campaign, and I'm sure if there's an All-Ireland semi-final or final there, Ivan, his hands might be twisted to stay for next or a week or two.
He won't say no. Yeah. Lads, after the county championship, what players do you think that haven't been involved in the Kerry senior panel will push for a place now? Paddy Lane is mentioned by this texter. John, I think we went through that already. I think there's a load of names there, and it could kind of be a case of bring in maybe 30 or 40 players and see what it takes. But a load of lads put up their hands, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of lads put up their hand, and the guys were on the panel and were in the extended panel. But I suppose the likes of Darragh Lyon, he was very impressive for East Kerry. Kieran Collins, you know, Kieran Kennedy, Keith Evans, Paul O'Shea,
Carlo Big League.
Yeah. Do you know what these guys?
There, isn't there?
You know they did well, and we're talking. Then you know you go to the likes of Eddie Healy. You go to the Killian Trent. You know,
and they've all been inside training.
They have.
We have the McGrath Cup back this year, don't we? So it's kind of a good chance to give a good
chance
run
for all the young fellas. Yeah.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Southern Gales ladies and management on the mighty win yesterday. Continued success. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks a million for that. Tom in Castle Gregory sends in this one. Good evening. Just looking to clarify something within Kerry GA. A massive congrats to Dingle first and foremost on a great success. Dingle Club was founded in 1967, and all the county championships won prior to this were with a West Kerry divisional team that went under the name of Dingle. There were players from Aunascall, Lisbeth, Castle Gregory and Ungueltred playing. Dingle GA Club, of course, put claim to these titles probably before any of the other clubs did, but one real GA man in the town admitted that these titles should be standing with West Kerry. What's your opinion on that? I think, yeah, a lot of people were mentioning long before my time and potentially your time as well, lads, to be fair about it. Kind of a lot of people saying it was more of a district side, 77 years of heart, but at the end of the day, 77 years is most definitely a lifetime, so it might feel like a first to a lot of people anyway.
It will, and I think, look, Dingle have one now that they will claim forevermore.
Yeah.
I think that was the most important. I don't think 77 years was in a lot of minds of these fellas. They wanted to win this.
They wanted to win it, yeah. 77, that's generations of dads who didn't have a medal or grandfathers who didn't have a medal as well. Congratulations to Knocknagree, of course, who won Senior A County Championship beating Kilnamatra in Páirc Uí Chaoimh yesterday. Credit due to their excellent coach in John Dwyer from Kilcumin. Great achievement. So now Knocknagree are Senior Premier. Well done to all the management. That's from Guinea Gwilla supporter, and a tightness group there in Sleeve Lucre. They're always supporting their own, even if they are across over the border, and a great success. And I think we mentioned that last week, lads, as well. It's great to see teams with Kerry involvement or players or management or whatever else are close by doing well as well.
I suppose even John Fintan Daly deserves a mention there. Do you know, he's been at it for years with Knocknagree.
That's right, yeah.
Brought him from junior up along, and great GA man, and a great man manager.
And a real small area to be going up senior as well. It's kind of a similar to maybe a Temple Nose story in my head in Knocknagree. It's a huge achievement for a small parish there that's over the border into Cork. Now, lads, the famous time of the year. I don't know what the most dreaded or most looked forward to part of the year, I'm not sure. You've been deliberating all day on this, and to be fair, over the last couple of weeks. But it is time to name the Garvey Super Value County Senior Football Team of the Championship for 2025. We go straight into lads. I think there's no point beating around the bush. Liam, we might start with you and the goalkeeper situation.
Yeah, we'll start off with the goalkeepers. We've picked out three. Jason Brown from Midkerry, Long Rangers, young player, had a very solid campaign, had a couple of fantastic saves in a couple of the games that they played. Our second goalkeeper then would be Michael Tansley, Austin Stacks, and our third is Gavin Curran Dingle. And the player we have went for is Gavin Curran of Dingle, who I thought had a very solid campaign throughout. Now, even yesterday, he didn't have a whole pile to do, but the goalkeeper is such a pivotal position now between kick-outs and the whole lot, and I thought Gavin was very solid yesterday for Dingle.
Yeah, well deserved. John, we move on to the full back line, and probably one of the most debated of the whole lines in the pitch, I think, over the last couple of hours. Plenty of names throwing their names forward for this one.
Yeah, some of the names there, even for that, were Sean Cleary, Michael Potts, Dan Murphy, Tom Sullivan, James McCarthy, Ronan Shanahan. So I suppose the full back line we've gone, and there were others as well, but we brought it down to six. So the full back line we selected: Ronan Shanahan, Austin Stacks, Dan Murphy, Rat Moore, and Tom O'Sullivan Dingle.
Yeah, some very worthy names there. Tom O'Sullivan probably got man of the match yesterday, John, as well. A great performer all year.
Yeah, very, very solid. Tom, you know, came back from the injury. It's been said several times he took up from where he left off. You know, he's really sharp. I think yesterday's game, even though he was cornerback, I think the positioning in the second half was vital. You know, he used his experience as a link man, and very effective. Dan Murphy had a great campaign with Rat Moore.
Yeah.
Real tigerish defender. And, you know, he was very solid. And Ronan Shanahan, the captain of Austin Stacks, not spectacular, but always there, you know, and used his experience throughout the campaign. Very solid. And, you know, I suppose he doesn't make a big fuss about anything, but he showed his experience.
Does his job.
And I think that's all you can look for in a defender.
Yeah, 100%. Liam, we'll move on to the half-back line. And again, plenty of names here that we could have chosen from.
Exactly, very competitive, Ivan. We'll start off with Mike Breen, Mick Kerry, Gary Vaughan, Spa, Gavin White, Croaks, Sean O'Brien, Mick Kerry, Paul Murphy, Rap Moore, Armin Heinrich, Austin Stacks, and Conor Flannery of Dingle. Now, wouldn't you love to have a half-back line of any of those guys? And the three we've gone with is at number 5 is Paul Murphy from Ratmore, at number 6 is Armin Heinrich Stacks, and number 7 Sean O'Brien from Mick Kerry.
Yeah, standout names, obviously Paul Murphy, huge loss to Ratmore when he went off injured in that semi-final, but had a fantastic championship up to that.
It just showed his influence with Ratmore when he did go off. You know, he was a major loss. Armin Heinrich, you know, we've seen him in the last couple of weeks. No, a guy that I'd say Jack has good time for. He's in and about the Kerry setup as well. Sean O'Brien, I think a guy that has really gone to the next level, especially with the confidence he's got of winning Dáil Éireland in the middle of the field. You know, so he's a guy that we're going to really keep a close eye on this year and see can he push on from the heights that he elevated from this year.
Yeah, no, great choices. So just in case you wanted to recap there before we go to our first break in the middle of all this, goalkeeper Gavin Curran, full back line of Ronan Shannon, Dan Murphy and Tom O'Sullivan, and the half back line Paul Murphy, Armin Heinrich and Sean O'Brien. Again, you can keep the text coming in. People love their opinions on these sort of things. 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can give us a call 066 712 3666, and we'll be naming our midfield pairing and forwards after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now you're welcome back as we're still discussing where we're putting certain players into this team. I say if we give it another week or two, we'll be back with different ideas. John, we're going to go for midfielders next. What have we there?
Some of rare talent there, Ivan, I think, in fairness, and some of the names that we whittled it down to were Cathal Oibigleach, Liam Smith, Andrew Meinhan, Dermot O'Connor, Mark O'Connor, Mark O'Shea, Jack Barry, Joe O'Connor, Ben Murphy. So I suppose it's a huge position. There were so many great performances throughout the championship and various different pairs, but I suppose consistency over the games and the influence they had on the games, we have gone with the Austin Stack midfield pairing of Joe O'Connor and Ben Murphy. Despite being on a losing side yesterday, they were hugely effective throughout the campaign. Joe's had a fantastic year and he continued with Kerry. Some of his 2-pointers in the championship were worth the admittance fee alone, and Ben Murphy has lit up the championship and you know, kicked 3 points. The young fella kicked 3 points yesterday from the middle of the park against a very good Dingle pairing at different times. So Joe Connor, Ben Murphy.
In the great, John, we can kind of sit here saying the midfield was probably the toughest pairing after what we were talking about for the last couple of years for Kerry, about the ideal kind of midfield pairing, and all of a sudden in our county championship we found it hard to pick 2 midfielders.
Yeah, it was when we sat down to pick it was so difficult, you know, and you know, I suppose people might say, you know, when you come to the semi-finals and finals, that's where the bulk of your players come from, but you know, these guys were consistent throughout, and that's what we look for when we're picking.
Absolutely. Our first championship under new rules, Liam, saw plenty of scores from 2-pointers and everything else. Half-forward line, crucial in all that. We've had plenty of standout names this year.
Plenty of them, and we'll start off with Brian Friel from Ratmore, Billy Courtney, Dr. Crooks, Darragh Liney's Kerry, Matthew Flaherty, Dingle, Adam O'Donoghue, St. Kieran's, Keith Evans, Mick Kerry, and Paul Gainey, Dingle. And I suppose we've changed it a small bit. I won't say we cheated a small bit, but there's a guy here that we put in at number 10 and we couldn't leave him out because he's after a fantastic championship, Ivan. And that's probably, will I be a bit sarcastic about the youngest man in the field yesterday? Yeah. Billy O'Connor. We thought, like, we were actually thinking about putting him in goals. No, we had to find some place for him to get him on this team because he was so, he's such a kind of the engine room of Dingle. We saw what he did in the semi-final and again yesterday. So Billy is our number 10. At number 11, there was no question, this is probably the easiest position, was Paul Gainey. and at number 12. So we're gone a whole Dingle half hour line. And at number 12 is Matthew Flaherty, who I thought was just a dynamo around the field for Dingle since he's come back. And you know, he was everywhere yesterday, played a big defensive role yesterday, I suppose, more than an attacking role. But what a player to have on your side.
Yeah, it's I said kind of the back line, but that half forward line was one of the most difficult you had of picking, Liam, wasn't it? There was so many options.
Well, just the players that I've named out there, like most of them, if not all of them, will probably be inside with Jack's set up in somewhere or another, you know. So but the three we went for, we thought, just watching them in all the games, they were just so influential for their team and to get Dingle across the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, last but not least, the full forward line again. So many names we could have picked from here.
Yeah, there was just to mention some of them were Kieran Kennedy, Cormac Dillon, Rory Abigley, Paddy Lane, Conor Ganey, Kieran Collins, Paul O'Shea, David Clifford, Tony Brosnan, Liam Carey, Sean Tehan, Darragh O'Connor. The three we've gone with, I suppose, number 13, Paddy Lane of Austin Stacks, full forward Conor Ganey of Dingle, and number 15, Kieran Kennedy of Mid-Kerry. Paddy Lane's had a great championship. You know, he's another one of these young lads that's been highly spoken of. I think he came, you know, his positioning in some of the games by Dara Long bring him away from the goals, you know, as a playmaker, but he's still a kicker and, you know, really exciting talent and something to look forward to going ahead. Conor Ganey, despite injury, I suppose the semi-final was the high point. You know, his kicking was excellent. Again yesterday, 4 points. And, you know, leg, as Liam said, strapped. Different variations of it over the last number of weeks. But, you know, crucial cog for Dingle. And Kieran Kennedy, he's one of these guys that has really impressed. You know, even though Mid-Kerry were beaten, you know, he was one of the guys that stood out for them, kicked 5 points in their last game. A go-to player, and I think another player that Jack and the management team will be certainly looking at over the next few months.
Yeah. Liam, I suppose on that again, it's kind of that full forward line is very strong, and even without the Cliffords or Tony Rosson, they're still very strong. We're gifted, I suppose, with forwards in the county, aren't we?
It is, and just the players that John named there, you know, I was just thinking, like, oh, wow, what an abundance of talent that we have. And I think the new rules has probably brought a bit of fresh air into a forward now as well. You know, they stand out more. So if you're a decent forward now and you can take your man on and you can kick a score or kick in the back of the net, you have the chances now. Whereas before, there could be 6 or 7 fellas in front of you and maybe 3 or 4 beside you. There was no space.
Yeah.
I think the new rules has really opened it up for a good forward. And it's easy to pick out a county forward now because you can see, you know, the talent that they have, good balance, the likes of Kieran Collins now and Kieran Kennedy and all these guys. Now they've taken the eye, you know, balance, kicking, you know when to tack, know when to recycle. And I think we're in for a very exciting 12 months, especially in watching out for the green and gold, because we have the talent. It's just up to the Jack now and his management team, so can they glue it all together.
Right. You mentioned 12 months. I go back to the 28th of October, 2024. We all sat in this room as well, tomorrow by date, exactly a year ago. And last year's team of the championship. Do you want to know it? Well,
shout away.
Shout away.
You've had two survivors, the team of the championship. Shane Murphy was your goalkeeper. Full back line, Evan Looney, Dylan Casey and Tom O'Sullivan.
3 All-Ireland winners.
Your
4 All-Ireland winners.
Your half back line, Tom Leo, Gavin White and Brian Looney. Midfield, you'd Mark O'Shea and Barry Dent. Half forward line, you'd Micheál Burns, Sean O'Shea and Philip O'Connor, St. Kieran's. And full forward line, Dylan Ganey, Paul Ganey and David Shaw. And Brian Looney was your player of the championship last year.
14 All-Ireland medals there, joined that team this year. So we weren't too far away.
Picked
the team.
you know, it's funny how you look at like a championship last year. Obviously, their Crokes dominated in that one. No Crokes player this year. It does go to show, John, kind of the strength of the championship year on year, doesn't it? And we kind of, that unpredictability of it. We mentioned how, you know, East Kerry had dominated for so long. You know, the Crokes are always there and thereabouts. And, you know, neither have a name on the team this year. And, you know, you looked, they were probably both the favourites going into the championship a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing the way it goes, and it's, we've said it several times, how competitive the Kerry championships are at all levels. And you know, I suppose the beauty about picking a team like this is we're fortunate, Ivan, to be in here. We've seen all the games this year, and you know, we'll be meeting people over the next week that have their own teams, and why was this fella not on, and why did you pick this fella? But that's what it's about, and that's why Kerry is special. But you know, one thing maybe about the forwards, you know, when you look at the likes of Billy O'Connor and Matthew Flaherty, what they brought to Dingle this year in work rate and intensity, tracking back, it's not all about putting the ball over the bar either. And I think that they were crucial to the team, and it'll be interesting to see how many of that team, hopefully we're all around next year to see how many of that team will actually make it, because different teams can emerge. You know, Stacks came out of from intermediate, and they're at the top table now in Kerry senior football. So who'll be there next year? It'll be interesting. But that's an interesting to hear that team now, that you know, the amount of changes, and the clubs that haven't been in. You know, it's amazing. Like,
it's a good sign though, Liam, isn't it? It's a good sign of kind of the competitiveness of it or anything else, and that, you know, Dr. Crosby's Kerry or whoever else, you know, failing to mention, you know, haven't ran away with it. It's always kind of a case of where it is wide open in Kerry, and it does lead to great championships.
It is, and even the names you've called out there, it's the same names really, John, that's popping up every year, you know, for all the clubs, which is a good sign, because they're holding their hand up. We're all talking about them, people can see them. You know, you hear different fellas going out there, whether it's watching Crow or Spa or whoever, you know, we're going out to watch X, Y and Z, and I think them names are popping up, and I think that's great for Kerry football. So hopefully going forward that this team that we've picked here, like John said, we'll just go back to Billy O'Connor again. I remember him running in the semi-final underneath the stand. He five times he ran over underneath Pavilion. He was after kicking 2 points, unlucky not to get a goal. You know, work rate like that.
Yeah,
no, that's key for winning championships.
But when he came off yesterday, we could see him inside the door. He was just flat. He'd left everything out there. He had nothing left.
Yeah. No, so that's.
But how they've improved, like Sean O'Brien, you know, at wing back on the team, how he's improved since he went in with Jack, and obviously getting his chance on the team and that. But it goes to show getting in is a problem, and it's difficult because of the talent. But the level of improvement, the noticeable level improvement in the players from the time they're in there. Another player that has improved hugely this year, Armin Heinrich, playing with confidence. I think it's the confidence they get from being inside, playing and training in that company. And if you're inside and you're marking the Cliffords and Shawnee Shea night after night, well, you have to improve.
It's going to bring you on.
Yeah,
That team in full. So before we finish up with it, Gavin Curran, Dingle in goal, full back line, Ronan Shannon, Austin Stacks, Dan Murphy, Ratmore and Tom O'Sullivan of Dingle. The half back line, Paul Murphy, Ratmore, Armin Heinrich of Austin Stacks and Sean O'Brien mid Kerry. The midfield pairing, Austin Stacks, Joe O'Connor and Ben Murphy, of course, and then the half forward line, Billy O'Connor of Dingle, Paul Ganey, Dingle and Matthew Flair of Dingle and all Dingle forward line, and the full forward line, Paddy Lane, Austin Stacks, Conor Ganey of Dingle and Kieran Kennedy of Mid Kerry. So tough job, lads, so thanks very much for whittling that one down. 6 Dingle, 5 Austin Stacks, 2 then each from the beaten semi-finalist Rathmore and Mid Kerry. Liam, we might just have a quick look at the player of the year. We won't announce it till after the break, but we might have a quick look of who we've kind of whittled it down to 4. We've done that on social media as well, and maybe kind of the reasons why we're kind of looking at the 4 players we've picked.
Yeah, I suppose, look, 2 Dingle and 2 Austin Stacks. The 2 Stacks boys, Joe O'Connor and Paddy Lane. I suppose Joe has been mentioned a lot for players of the year at the moment. Fantastic season. Led their club by, you know, out the front, the both players. Paddy led it up front, kicking pints for fun. To be fair to Dingle, they did their homework on him yesterday, or they cut off the supply into him, but he still worked hard. He tried to get on ball. Our other 2 boys then, Tom Sullivan, was outstanding. You know, has really, really been the leader for Dingle along with Paul Ganey. You know, so it's a tough one to pick, but at the same time, I wouldn't mind having any of the 4 of them on my team.
No, absolutely. Same story for you, John, there for standout players in the championship for you.
Yeah, I think so. You know, to reiterate what Liam said there, you know, they picked themselves, being honest with you, and they've been they've been the main players throughout the championship campaign. And I suppose Paul Gainey, Joe Connor, and Tom Sullivan, Kerry senior stars, you know, leading by example. With Paddy Lane, as I said previously, when we selected him at corner forward, you know, great young talent, and very seems to be a very level-headed guy. You know, he just goes on. And what I like about him as well, if he has a wide, he goes again the next time. That's a great sign of a player, mm-hmm. you know, to go for it. So, difficult one, as Liam said, to pick, but, you know, we'll make the decision shortly.
So, yeah, so basically the lads want another break to make the final decision. And that's what we'll do, is again, if you can get in touch with maybe who you've put into the team that we didn't or whatever else, you can get in touch 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can give us a call 066 712 3666. We'll be back with the final segment of Terrace Talk for this Monday evening after we take these.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Radio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Time to name the player of the championship. Liam, we'll give it to you.
Okay, look, I suppose there's no big surprise. He's going to be our future Kerry captain. And I think everyone that had the vote all went clear for Paul Gainey.
Yeah, I'm glad to say, and I can actually get it up here now on Twitter on my phone as we're here, because it was a landslide victory online as well. Yeah, 51% of our poll went for Paul Gainey. Close in between Joe O'Connor, who had 24%, Tom O'Sullivan on 21%, and Paddy Lane trailing on at the back there with 4%. So the majority of Twitter and social media is with you, Liam, so they can't be giving out to you now tomorrow.
we'll hold that comment until tomorrow. We'll see all the lines. But no, I think the team that we've picked, and like John said earlier, there is look, there'll be plenty of debate, and I think fellas, there's always one or two positions where you'll be debating and stuff like that, but overall I think we're quite happy with the players that we have, and we'd be quite happy if it were a manager of that team that they would go out and they would give any team a game of it. There's
absolutely
some good footballers,
yeah.
There
no 100%. John, your full agreement with Paul Gainey being the player?
Yeah,
of the year?
I think, look, Paul Gainey has an exceptional year. Ivan, he has led Dingle even before the lads came back from the injury in the club championship and that, but the county championship, you know, yesterday, as I said earlier on, carrying the injury, the influence he had on the game, being named the official man of the match as well, and getting 2-2, I think, you know, the points were typical of Paul. But the second goal was absolutely top class, top drawer, and you know, big players perform on big days, and certainly Paul is one of those. And you know, we wish him well, and hopefully that injury will clear up, and that he'll be on the playing field for a long time to come. Because we are very fortunate in Kerry to have players of that calibre, mm-hmm. and we've quite a lot of them. And well done to Paul.
100%. Lads, another county championship done and dusted. We said there's plenty of highlights through us. We chatted to you, Liam, already, so may I put the same one to John. But a good championship all in all, and again, plenty of people for Jack O'Connor to be looking at, and it'll be one that'll be remembered, I think, the early defeats for East Kerry and Crokes as well. It'll be remembered for a while, 2025, won't it?
Yeah, a decent championship, Ivan. Like, I agree with Liam, the crowds earlier on in particular were something, a lot of talking about it. But on the field of play, you know, I suppose you have to give great credit to all the management teams for the preparation that went in, the professional way they looked, and the football that was played, the quality of players on view, the amount of players that put their hand up to be looked at by the Kerry management team, and I suppose, you know, the early exit of East Kerry and Dr. Crokes, it shows how competitive it is. It was a historic year also in North Kerry. In the county championship again,
yeah.
And you know that'll whet the appetite for those players for the years to come. But you know, Dingle, you know, they say fairy tales don't come true. It's been a tough few years for them, you know, playing some great football, being involved in some great games, but didn't get over the line. Yesterday was their day, and Stacks will be back.
100% agree with that, John. Liam, I suppose a bit early to be looking ahead because we don't know the different teams they'll be up against, but a big couple of weeks coming up now for both Dingle on Gaeltacht and of course Ballymacallaghan in the various different Munster championships. We give Dingle the week off to go and celebrate. I'm sure the likes of Gaeltacht and Ballymac now will be fully focused in on their games into the 23rd of November, so kind of less than a month away now. They're playing on Gaeltacht playing Corrafin or Stradbally in the semi-final, and Ballymacallaghan waiting on the winner of a Clare versus Tipperary clash there. Dingle will be at home in their semi-final as well. Dingle will be at home to one of the Limerick champions as well there on the 23rd. So a busy couple of weeks, and we do enjoy the Munster Championship here in the clubs, and we've had success at intermediate and junior, and I'm sure Paddy McNaughton will be looking for that Croke Park date in January as well.
Without a doubt, and I think we're the three teams that are going forward representing Kerry are very well equipped. So very strong. I think this little week or two now will give Dingle a break now as well to get all the injuries sorted out again. Mm-hmm. I know the Kerry boys are going away on their holidays tomorrow. Best luck to them. I hope it doesn't rain or anything like that. We're here in the cold and the rain. But look, it's well deserving. They're after a long year, so fair play to them. But Gaeltacht. We saw Gaeltacht, big, strong, physical team. You know, good forwards, you know, going into the intermediate campaign. I think it'll take a good team to knock them off their perch. And the same with Ballymac. You know, Ballymac been in Division 1 football for many years in Kerry. A lot of good young fellas coming through. You can see this year getting over the line what it meant them. And I think, they're probably itching now to get back on the field again, Gaeltacht, Ballymac. There's such a long break there for them. And I think once the game starts rolling for them, you'll see a big buzz around them parishes.
Yeah, that Munster tends to kind of bring that on as well. John, I was this time last year, mentioned team holidays. I was heading off to Florida on my honeymoon, and I met Kieran Donaghy heading out with our man there, team holiday, but he won't be heading with our man anymore. It'll be hopefully a Kerry holiday next year. Of course, the news that Kieran Donaghy got into the backroom team, a huge move for Jack O'Connor and for Kerry as a whole.
Yeah, huge move, Ivan, and a hugely positive move, I think, to be fair. Kieran Donaghy is a great favourite here in Kerry. He's been a superb footballer, and he served his time up in Armagh, and you know, they won in All-Ireland while he was involved. The reports add that he had a huge influence and highly rated up there. And you know, I suppose the thing about Donaghy is that he's a very grounded guy. You know, we saw last weekend, Liam, he led in the Stacks, the Rockies, he led them into Fitzgerald Stadium. He was inside in the Midland yesterday with Wayne Quinlan, another man that served his time with Kerry as a manager. That says an awful lot about him. I think his experience, both in Gaelic football and in basketball, will be a big bonus to Kerry. I think it's a great move by Jack O'Connor. It freshens it up, but it's a man that's bringing a lot to the table.
Yeah, we kind of saw the influence Starr had with Armagh, didn't we, Liam, in those couple of years, and we came up against him as well. And, you know, he always looked assured, and he seemed to be well liked up in Armagh as well, which is almost strange to say for a Kerry man up there. But he was well liked and kind of, you know, knew the role, I suppose, that he was putting into Armagh and what they were getting out of him as well.
Yeah, I agree with John 100%. You know, what Kieran, I've been inside in dressing rooms with Kieran Donaghy, and what he will bring to the dressing room alone, not to mind what he'll bring on the training field. He's just a larger than life character. He's a guy to throw an arm around players, and you could see that above an Armagh as well. You know, every one of them, you know, they spoke very highly of him, and I think it's a master stroke by Jack to bring him in. And it's looking like, is it an heir to the throne? However long Jack will stay there, that's what it's looking like. And no better man. And I definitely think Kieran is going to be a big cog to the Kerry management team this year.
Yeah, and it's funny, John, isn't it? You know, you look at Kieran and a lot of travel involved with up and down Armagh with a young family and everything. Now he's kind of going to be back based in Tralee or Kearns, if you want to call it that. It'll be a lot less of a drive than it is Armagh. But it goes to show like these guys might have to put their time in, you know, out somewhere else and to come back in. I think kind of reminds me of the Henry Shefflin situation in Kilkenny, that kind of Cody was going nowhere, so he went off to Galway and kind of earned his stripes there. He won the county championship with Ballyhale yesterday up there. But, you know, it's kind of funny how maybe you have to kind of go out of the county to get your opportunity, and well deserved now to get in his time with Kerry.
Yeah, there's a transition from playing to management, and it's always good to go away, I think, and go to another team in another county, and you know, less pressure. You learn your trade, and he was under McGeaney up there and some great people in Armagh. You learn a lot, and you know, but I think that this is a big move, and you know, the timing of it, it's a real boost. And I think in over the last week since the news broke, I had nobody with a dissenting voice on Kieran Donnelly's appointment. No. And that's a huge thing in Kerry.
Yeah, and he is well liked, isn't he, Liam? I know you mentioned he's that character kind of around the dressing room, but you know, even with his time with Kerry, he was kind of the tall man at the edge of the square. He was adored by kids, kind of star. I remember he kind of nearly grew up in his generation when I was only a young fella for homecomings. He's well liked around the county, and you know, a businessman and everything else. You know, he's I don't know kind of what, he's kind of got that kind of aura about him, and a good character as well.
He is, yeah, and I suppose like he's a guy that would spend as much time with a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old than he would with an adult. You know, he has time for everyone, but he's brain, and that's the one thing I found with him, is that I suppose coming from the basketball side of it as well, and he's obviously what he's done with the football down through the years, you know, has been colossal. You know, he's done everything. He's won it. He's won it at the coaching side of it. He's won it as a player. And I think just to have a different, and no more like James Weldon and Aidan O'Shea inside with Dingle this year, it's a new voice as well in the dressing room, and I think that's that big thing for Jack as well, you know, just to change it up. So you have a serious management team as well as a serious pool of players, mm-hmm. You know, and it's coming together nicely for Kerry, and I suppose we probably will be favourites, John, going into the campaign next year. You know, the bookies will definitely have us as favourites, and I think, look, if we can keep a clean build of health, fitness wise and stuff like that, it's going to take a very good team to beat us.
But I think Ivan, it says a lot about Jack's philosophy. Mm-hmm. He's an All-Ireland winning manager in a difficult year, came out winning all the trophies. He's not sitting on his laurels. Yeah, he wants to improve his management team. And that's a big move.
And they always spoke about Jim Gavin, that he surrounded himself with very good people, and Jack has done that. Has done that, like, and it's credit to Jack, because you could easily have a manager that wants it all himself. Yeah. Whereas he's bringing in guys, and you could see the reward that he's getting out of it.
Yeah, 100%. Lads, we're out of time. Thanks very much for all that throughout the year and the championship. We might get you in maybe around the Munster Championship and the clubs and everything else, but thanks for being for everything all year. I meant to say best of luck to the Camara Shamrocks. Of course, they're taking on Knockaderry of Limerick on Saturday. That's in the Junior Hurling Quarterfinal, the Munster Junior Quarterfinal. That's on in Temple Knowe at 1:30 on Saturday, so best of luck to the Camara Hurlers as well. That's all we have time for this evening. Thanks again to Liam and John, and to Dan Carney as well, chatting ladies. We'll do it all again next Monday night. Thanks to Niamh, who produced the programme, and to Rob, who helped out as well. Mary Conroy is up next with Talk Sus, and we'll do it all again next Monday evening. Slán.